accumulation, preservation, generation. At Busey Bank, these are the principles we use to build meaningful financial partnerships with our clients and their families. With sound advice and vast resources, partner with Busey for a personalized approach to your legacy. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Member FDIC.
That's great.
That's Sarah Hastings right there, bringing herself in with the weather. This is Matt Baer doing it. Wait, hold on. Here's Matt.
No.
That's it. That's all we had from Matt.
That sucked.
I know. Yours is not great, Matt.
I know.
Not at all.
No.
But like Tara Hastings has pitch and everything else. It's the wah. That's the key.
The ending, yes.
That's the gold. Did I mention that we get paid for this?
We do? I think you did. That's awesome.
Yeah. True story.
Nice.
Unbelievable. Tara Hastings has traffic. With weather. What's going on?
Hey, good morning. We're going to look for a partly to mostly cloudy sky today. Could see a few showers and storms possible. Short window, though, between about 11 o'clock and 3 p.m. It is going to be a breezy day today. Winds directly out of the south. Could gust 30, 35 miles per hour today. Highs near 76. Partly cloudy tonight, 52. And much of the day on Thursday is going to be dry, partly cloudy. We'll get up to 76. Showers and thunderstorms develop later in the evening. Some of those could be on the stronger side, so stay weather aware here. We're going to look for Friday morning showers. It'll be a cooler day, 61 and 50s for the weekend with sunny skies.
That is Tara Hastings of Wish TV right there. Tara Hastings, thank you. Appreciate it. Right now, we've got ourselves 64 degrees in the American Standard Cooling Weather Center. The time is 8:07. Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, is clear. Don't expect those rate cuts. We're seeing 30-year fixed mortgages at 7.5% again. You've got inflation that will not go away. Do not expect anything to get better anytime soon. That's the argument. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. A series of things to get to, including, of course, you've got the trial of President Trump happening right now in this hush money case, which is a nonsense case. There's nothing here. And everybody now knows it. Yet cable news is covering this story like somehow it's the biggest story in America. Only proving how little they know where America is at. Speaker Johnson is saying he's going to hold on as Speaker. He is very clear that even though there's this push from Marjorie Taylor Greene and from Thomas Massie to get him to resign, he is not going.
What is your response to Republicans who say this move should cost you your job and that if you don't resign, they will try to oust you?
I am not resigning, and it is, in my view, an absurd notion that someone would bring a vacate motion when we are simply here trying to do our jobs. It is not helpful to the cause. It is not helpful to the country. It does not help the House Republicans advance our agenda, which is in the best interest of the American people here, a secure border, sound governance, and it's not helpful to the unity that we have in the body.
The problem, sir, is that you don't have unity in the body. But then he makes this statement in reference to a post put out on social media by Newt Gingrich.
Look, we are in unprecedented times, okay? We're in dangerous times, as has been articulated here, around the world, and here at home. We need steady leadership. We need steady hands at the wheel. I regard myself as a as a wartime speaker. I mean, in a literal sense, we are. I knew that when I took the gavel. I didn't anticipate that this would be an easy path. Former Speaker Newt Gingrich posted a couple days ago on his social media that this is the hardest challenge that's faced a speaker probably in the history of the country, in the moment we're in right now. He said arguably maybe comparable to the Civil War, but maybe worse.
To which Representative Thomas Massie responded, get a grip. When you make comparisons like that, you shouldn't be doing that, Speaker Johnson. Just do your thing. If you're going to fight these people who want to push you out, fight them. You want to govern, do the things that you think you're supposed to do. Allow other people, you know, believe your own press? Nah. Don't do that. Because you don't look heroic, you look smug. It's not what you want. That said, people are upset with the FISA vote. People are bothered that he was willing to engage funding of the government. I want the border to be taken care of, and I believe it should come first. But I don't think there's any value that comes from getting rid of the speaker. Win the election, get a majority, change the speaker. Fine by me. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Morning. Caitlin Clark is coming to Indianapolis. We know this. And now I have to concern myself with what she's getting paid. I want to be clear, and I'm not angry with you, Caitlin Clark, at all. And my offer stands. I did not know that people pay for interviews. And there's Pat McAfee paying Aaron Rodgers $1 million a year. I will pay you the old Saturday Night Live number. Lorne Michaels was willing to pay $3,000 to get the Beatles to play. I'll pay you $3,000. To do one interview a week for a year, just like Aaron Rodgers. $3,000. And you say, Aaron Rodgers gets $1 million and Caitlin Clark only gets $3,000. Well, isn't that what people are saying about her paycheck from the WNBA? Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. I don't have Pat McAfee money. Somebody wants to sponsor the segment, we can have Pat McAfee money. But there's this big conversation now about, look at what Caitlin Clark is getting paid. Oh my gosh, such little money. Why is this? I don't know. I don't care. Neither does anybody else. Russell Wilson is out there, quarterback with the Pittsburgh Steelers now. Caitlin Clark should be getting paid more. These ladies deserve so much more. Praying for the day. What are you praying for? What exactly is Russell Wilson praying for? Go buy a WNBA team and pay her more. You know what? Write her a check. What are you praying for? What are the millions you're getting? Stop waiting. Write her. What is this conversation happening across the country? I don't know what Caitlin gets paid with the NIL. I don't know what kind of endorsement deals she's going to get. She does stuff with State Farm. Isn't she doing stuff with Nike? I don't care what she gets paid. You don't care what I get paid, et cetera, et cetera. I think the story here is to recognize that the WNBA doesn't make money. You may want it to. You may hope it does. I hope it does, because that would mean better things for the city, right? The WNBA does better. The Indiana Fever do better. It creates more opportunities for more events downtown. It creates a better city. That's the hope. But it doesn't. They were discussing, you've heard the newsroom discuss it today, that the draft, the WNBA draft, because of Caitlin Clark, got over 2 million viewers. It's the first time anything for the WNBA has ever gotten over 1 million views. 1 million viewers at one time. The first time that league's been around for two decades? The first time? The WNBA works because the NBA wants it to work. That is it. That is not anger. Those are facts. I'm not interested in being told that somehow it's wrong to engage a conversation about facts. Can Caitlin Clark change this? Can she change this and get people interested in a way that brings more ad revenue and therefore brings more opportunity? I don't know. Maybe. Time will tell. But she gets what the rookies get. The top four picks, they earn $76,535 in the first season. And you're like, oh, that's too low. Go write her a check. They should be paid like the men. No, they shouldn't. They don't generate the ad revenue like the men. Why don't you grow up? I'm saying it to you. I shouldn't say it to you. They should grow up. Jemele Hill or whoever else is angry about it. Well, Jemele Hill is angry that we care about Caitlin Clark because it's a whole race thing. But everyone else who's angry, go pay him more. Nothing's stopping Russell Wilson from writing a check to Caitlin Clark or Leah Boston or Angel Reese or anybody else. Go write the damn check. There are a lot of welcomes from pro players or the Colts and other organizations here in Indianapolis. If you think she should be paid more, go write her a check. But if you're not willing to write her a check, stop thinking that other people should be magnanimous because you want to be magnanimous. You feel she should be paid more, so somebody else should pay her more is a really, really weird take. Thinking that the WNBA is anywhere near the financial environment of the NBA is proof positive of a mental condition. I mean, it's just ridiculous that this conversation has gone on for so long and it's only been 24 hours. It is ridiculous. Nothing I want more for her than success and more for the Indiana Fever because it means good things for Indianapolis. That's good. I want this. I absolutely, positively want this. But if you want her to make $1 million a year, you're going to need a lot more sponsorship. A lot more sponsorship. Don't get angry when the audience isn't there. Take a look at the product. Caitlin Clark is the first product you put out that people said, ooh, the first time. And college put it out. Well, she put it out, really, if you want to get a little more technical. Develop a better product and people will listen. Sometimes it takes a while to catch on. I can discuss this about myself. As the syndication for Tony Katz Today launches, are we going to be on 300 stations? I don't know. Are we good enough? Absolutely. What does that matter? It matters that you can capture an audience and the audience wants to be there and the people who are looking for audiences as well for their stations think I'm the guy who can help them get there. That's my job. And it's been a frustrating road. But you go at it and you go at it. That's why they use the expression 10 years to an overnight success. All right, maybe the WNBA needs 25 years to an overnight success. But you're not a success yet. And people demanding that you be paid like a success is, well, nonsense. It's nonsense. Tell Russell Wilson to write a check or be quiet.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz. 93 WIBC. Good morning. Dow futures up 48. NASDAQ futures up 21. Oil below $85 a barrel. So starting to see a bit of downtrend, or at least the West Texas Intermediate is, because right now the Brent crude is at 89.26. What's interesting is that if I take a look at CNBC, U.S. crude oil falls below $85 as traders discount Iran-Israel war risk. If I take a look at oilprice.com, rising Middle East risk sparks fear of $100 oil. I guess we'll have a beer and find out. Is this the argument? I think the big story economically is Biden is looking to continue the tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. Right now, the tariff is 7.5%. Trump was big on tariffs. Tariffs are taxes. It doesn't matter what Trump ever said about it. It's taxes and we pay it. But the concept of adding a tariff is to try and create a pressure against buying this foreign good in favor of buying an American good, in order to try and work out a better trade deal with the foreign entity. And then tariffs can be removed. So as a tool, they get used. And going back quite a few years, we discussed this with farmers. And they said, look, we know we're getting used in this way. But at least the farmers I spoke to, so anecdotal and amongst a round table, we're fine with it. We just want the better deal. We want China buying our goods. We want to get this done. Biden is now looking to triple the tariff rate on steel and aluminum. The current rate is 7.5%. So when Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, was in China, she stated that Chinese subsidies were creating an oversupply of clean energy products like solar panels and electric vehicles that would outpace domestic demand, and that would then be dumped on global markets at artificially cheaper prices, and that would stifle competition. So the idea is that the tariff would somehow even things out. I'm not in favor of any of this at all. This is the same kind of argument that we should raise prices on oil and gas to make it match what green energy costs, so green energy looks like it's a deal in comparison. But I think it's interesting that here is Biden going down the road that Trump used. And now I want to know from all these people who told me Trump was terrible for the economy, Trump this, Trump that, Trump the other, Trump your mother, what do you have to say about Joe Biden? And tariffs in an election year, and what does this mean to paychecks, or I should say the utilization of people's paychecks, what it is we pay for everyday goods everywhere. Keep an eye on that one. Because tariffs on steel, you might be like, hey, it doesn't mean anything. To me, it might very well mean something to you. It might. I can't guarantee that it does. We will be taking a look at these oil prices throughout the day. And Tesla is delaying Cybertruck deliveries. People are like, hey, why can't I get my Cybertruck? They're not necessarily giving a reason. I'm just amazed they're still selling Cybertrucks. That's the part that's incredible. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. I should probably warn producer Carl that playing a song like that can make people think somebody's leaving. And I'm not leaving. I don't think you're leaving.
It's the last segment of the show.
Oh, no, no. Oh, God, I see. It's creepier, I think. Because I think it's like you're trying to send a subliminal message. Because if I'm not leaving and you're not leaving, that leaves Matt Bear.
Oh, hell no.
Matt, do you have an announcement that you'd like to make to all of us right now about your future with WIBC?
Absolutely. I am leaving at 9:15. I will be back for Evening Rush at 3.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, we're good. We're good. No problem.
It's been a good career. I'll say at 9:15 until I get back at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Right. Yeah. He's not going anywhere. People, don't be.
Mm-mm.
Don't be ridiculous.
Here for life.
He's a lifer. Good Lord. I was sent by our own producer Carl a story about how Indigo is bragging about their new buses for the Purple Line. It looks like the red line, 'cause it's a really long line. It looks like the red line, waiting on the freaking red line. They don't learn. They don't learn. The 60-foot electric buses, the story from WTHR, will serve the upcoming Purple Line that will connect downtown with the city of Lawrence. That's going to go great. According to this, the buses are more environmentally friendly than previous buses. Wait. The previous buses were electric, built by China, BYD, Build Your Dreams, and they didn't work. They didn't work.
I want an Oompa Loompa now!
And Indigo wanted electric buses that could actually hold a charge in cold weather. But that didn't come true either, Veruca. You're not going to get your Oompa Loompa. Also, you can't own Oompa Loompas. It's weird. I don't know what Willy Wonka was doing. I think they had an improper relationship. You ever think of that? Did anybody ask the age of the Oompa Loompas? Oh no, as long as they were getting their sweet, sweet chocolate candy fix, who cared what Willy was doing with the Wonka? So they've got these buses they're super proud of. Super proud of these buses. And they use near zero emissions propulsion systems. It's going to improve air quality and reduce noise pollution. May I ask where the buses are made? The article does not state. I go to the Indigo website. I mean, there's a lot happening on this site, and it's possible that I simply missed where they were made. I'm on the Purple Line. And by the way, the picture they have of the person riding the bus on the Purple Line is wearing a mask. Either Indigo really knows their customer or really doesn't know their customer. But if you want to talk about attracting new customers, I don't think this is it. This woman is wearing a mask. Oh, by the way, am I allowed to say woman? I don't know. I don't know what the rules are over there at Indigo. Anyway, who makes the buses? Who makes the buses? Are they made in China? Are we utilizing Chinese-made buses, which don't work? Are we doing this again? Are we giving our money to the communist Chinese? Is this what we're doing with tax dollars? And by the way, of course it's tax dollars. I mean, where else do you think the money came from? It's a federal money. It's tax dollars. Or it's borrowed from China. So therefore, what, we have to buy the Chinese bus and that's what makes up for it? Answer the question. Where are the buses made? The story does not say. Indigo estimates that riders will only wait about 15 minutes between buses at stops along the Purple Line. Okay. Sure. I can't wait to see it not work. Cannot wait. Should we even ask how the Blue Line is going? Or if you mention the Blue Line, will you immediately be threatened by members of the City County Council? Business owners saw an issue with the Blue Line, and then they were told, you keep your mouth closed or else. And they said, please don't hurt us. And it was sad to watch. It was. It was sad to watch this happen. It's going to be even more sad to see the devastation along Washington Street. But don't worry, the devastation is all part of the plan, because the plan is to do what? Get rid of cars. The plan is to get rid of cars. The people who push something called Vision Zero, the plan is to get rid of cars on the road. This is who they are. Their policies and thoughts, central planning, big government, the socialist communist views, are responsible for the deaths of millions of people around the globe, and they learn nothing. They smile. It's okay to admit and understand that they're bad people. Now you just got to vote them out of office. You have to take them out of the bureaucracy. You have to limit the bureaucracy. You have to end agencies. Well, the services won't get to the people. These aren't services. That's the issue. This is you doing to the citizenry what Willie was doing to the Oompa Loompas. We should admit quite clearly that Indigo is failing epically here, because what they're providing is not service. What they're providing is subterfuge to an ideology that states you should not be able to go from point A to point B. It isn't about traffic calming. It isn't about less pollution. It's about you being a guilty party for creating a bad environment. And let the government now create a good environment and then decide when to travel. And why should you leave right away? You can go and wait 15 minutes at the bus stop if you can get there. Where are the buses made, Indigo? Where are they made?